He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday ugly edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, you ready to fight the demons today and the monsters out there? We're under siege right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's the old Ford saying, you can have it any color you want as long as it's red.
On all the
tickers that I'm looking at here.
At the moment. The symbol of the day is UGLY, ugly. That's the bad news. The good news is, look, we've done a lot. We have done a lot of selling leading up to this. We have put in many inverse ETFs. I do not hear anybody else on any of the financial channels or anyone within my industry that's talking about the usefulness of inverse ETFs at a time like this. Well, we got a lot to talk about here today. We'll get to what really the elephant in the room is here, but for now, let me just give you an update. You can cover your ears if you want to. The S&P is down 100, 42.96. We're breaking all technical support levels. I don't argue with technical analysis that's usually way ahead of the fundamental analysis. The Dow's down 675, 2%, 33,590. It's getting very close to critical support. I think 33,500 is critical support for the Dow, or the last bastion of support. NASDAQ's broken all support. Its next support level's at 13,000. It's down another 350 today as tech takes it on the chin. Crude oil down $2 per barrel. In other words, nothing's working. Gold up $3. Welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 22 years in the trenches of being a professional money manager, and I've got a seasoned chartered financial analyst Barry Kite on board. Hopefully we can help you navigate through what are very, very treacherous waters right now in the market. I wrote over the weekend in my newsletter that the NASDAQ has broken down. It's broken all support. You can't even believe, Barry, ARK Funds is down another 5.5% today. It's 5% a day, okay? It's 5% a day. And those stocks in her portfolio are really the eye of the storm. The long duration, high PE, speculative stocks that, look, Dow's down 7-11 right now, that were gobbled up in 2022 or 2020, and are now coming apart at the seams, as the interest rates start to head higher. Now, Barry, interest rates have not gone up that much. In fact, we're at 1.72 today. They've come down 14 basis points. There's obviously more to this underneath the surface than just interest rates. Wouldn't that kind of be your takeaway, too, from what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think because from my perspective, we had priced a lot of that interest rate hike in, at least some of the initial hikes. When you're looking at the market, I think certainly, as you mentioned towards the end of the week last week, that sentiment has completely changed in terms of this sell off. I mean, you can look at even other assets. You look at Bitcoin, right? There you can tell the confidence in something in that area, which is had some folks that the old diamond hands, right? That's faded. And just looking, of course, you've got, to me, the other elephant in the room is, of course, the Russian-Ukraine situation.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's got the markets unnerved because that's going to drag in a lot of countries around the world. And, you know, it's interesting that on the one hand, you've got Germany that doesn't want to put the sanctions on Russia because they're dependent upon Russian natural gas to keep their homes warm this winter. I don't know how they ever got into a situation like that, how they ever could have trusted Russia and Putin to not use that as leverage against them. And, of course, now the U.S. will not go along with sanctions because they want their Biden wants his global partners to go along, and Germany won't go along. In the meantime, Bitcoin's down $1,600. It's at $33,659. It's been cut in half. And I was warning, you know, late last year about the irrational exuberance and the bubbles that had built in the EV sector, in the cryptocurrency sector, in the blockchain sector, in the autonomous sector, this and that. But now, of course, the baby's being thrown out with the bathwater. I think at some point in time here, I can't tell you when, but I think a little bit of, I think the market will, you know, bargain hunters at some point in time are going to step forward and buy the quality, short-duration stocks that still make sense in this environment, unless there's something else out there that we don't know about that's underneath the surface, even further than Ukraine. I know that China was buzzing Taiwan over the weekend. If we don't have enough trouble in the world, right? We had two aircraft carriers go through the Philippine Straits, where my father was in World War II in a damn submarine. That doesn't sound fun, but that's where he was. Now it's a hotbed again, that South China Sea there. And you've got China buzzing Taiwan over the weekend with warplanes. So, you know, I guess the drumbeat of war in various spots around the world has also got this market upset. Is there a war on capitalism? Probably. You know, who knows? But anyways, we're gonna do the best that we can. I think you know, these inverse funds are helping us a lot. We have picked on a lot of the most vulnerable areas of the market. And Barry, you've seen all the people that are coming to us that have heard about us in one way or another for guidance right now, because nobody else. Look, the answer around most of our industry is we've built a plan, we put together this plan, and we need to stay the course. I've heard that before, stay the course. I heard it in 2000 as the NASDAQ imploded. I heard it in 2008, 2009 as the S&P lost 53%. Now, it did come back both times, but it's the length of time for it to come back, and it depends on what you're invested in, because a lot of the stuff never came back. I'm a witness to the fact that many of the dot-com stocks never came back. And I'm here to say that a lot of the stocks out on that transformational edge, they're not coming back. They're only going to get worse. I've been saying that for a month now, or 2 months. And have I been right? Have they continued to get worse every single day? You're hitting a new low today on those stocks, down another 5%. In the meantime, we have a position on SARC. Didn't we just write an article on that, Barry? SARC?
Yeah, it was enough information
two articles.
For two of them.
Yeah, and that thing is soaring, right? Okay, that was such an easy play to figure out. And I read an article actually over the weekend about how SARC's assets have soared. I think there's now $200 million, which is very unusual for a small independent ETF developer to come up with an ETF and to attract that much money in so short of a time. It's the only ETF I know that goes inverse. That most vulnerable area of the market, other than some of these biotech ETFs, which are also, the biotech sector is also very, very vulnerable. We have positions in some biotech inverse ETFs also. Well, you know what? We're going to do our best to guide you through this. You're going to hear a much different answer and much different ideas on the Best Stocks Now show our best ETFs show. What are the best ETFs now? Well, SH. SH is inverse the S&P 500. We're long SH. PSQ is inverse the NASDAQ. We're long PSQ. TWM is inverse the Russell 2000. Two times we have a big position in TWM. And, of course, Sark, thank you, is absolutely inverse. Kathy Woods, ARK funds. And Barry, I just got to close with this before we go to break here. I see Tesla, the biggest holding at ARK, or second biggest holding, is starting to implode finally today on its extreme valuations. We still own Tesla, but it's breaking support. You know what that means. We'll see where it heads here after the show. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Inverse Funds Now show. I got to throw in SOGU into that mix, S-O-G-U, which is inverse all those SPACs that went public. How about that? All those SPACs that went public. We do have a position.
Yeah, that one's having a pretty strong day, up 9.3%.
Okay, I got to mention one other subject here real quickly, and then we're going to get back to what is working. There's actually quite a bit working in the market today. I just looked at our PSQ. It's flying. SH is flying. You know, last Wednesday, I woke up Wednesday morning to update my spreadsheet and my app database, and I saw that my server at HostMonster was down. HostMonster is not a little fly-by-night hosting company. I mean, they're owned by, it's one of the brands of Bluehost, which they've got so many different brands, which I believe Constant Contact is one of their brands, and Gator, I don't know, Web Gator, and all of these different things. And then at the end of the day, there's a big private equity firm that owns Bluehost. That's one of their brands. They have several brands. And, you know, they've been giving me the runaround since last Wednesday, and my server is still, I have a virtual private server. I don't share it with anybody. I pay a lot for that server, so it never goes down. They have not given me a straight answer. The only thing they will admit to is that many of their servers went down. They haven't given me a reason other than too much traffic on their servers. Well, that shouldn't affect my server. I don't have that kind of traffic on some of these giant, you know, servers with other people that are on their servers. And I gave them a deadline until the show's over, noon today. If my server's not back, I'm going to file a class action lawsuit here in the district court. I've got the attorney all lined up. He's ready to do it. This is BS. It's total BS for them, for a company not to be transparent and not to be honest, Barry, and keep, we'll escalate this. And of course, their tech support are people not in this country that don't have any idea what is going on. I said, I want to talk to somebody at HostMonster. I don't want you, this escalating it and writing a order ticket, it has solved nothing. So they've got till noon today. And if they finally tell me, sir, it's not coming back up, we are prepared to rebuild that app as quickly as we can and charge HostMonster for our time. So that's where it stands. In the meantime, I'm able to get my live trades out through Constant Contact as long as it doesn't go down. And I was able to get my newsletter out through Constant Contact. But I do use their server to send out the push notification. So if you're listening and you haven't been getting any push notifications, just write to me at bill@gundersoncapital.com and I'll put you in the Constant Contact database group, and you'll get those live trades throughout the day.
And
all
peek
right,
over
okay.
And also, and peek over in your junk mail box. It may end up there the first go-round. I know,
yeah, it might.
I've gotten a couple, depending on the email address, because I think I have three email different email addresses that things come to,
yep.
Bill. And so I know one of them for me was ending up on the junk side. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to it. You know, I have a complete list of every inverse fund that's available to me in the form of ETFs. For whatever reason, I was one of the first people, you know, I remember in the early days of my career, I used to do a little bit of variable annuities, and I didn't like the fact that variable annuities, you couldn't really, you know, if you needed a short position or something, you couldn't do that. And finally, Pro Funds came along, and I think it was American Scandia, had variable annuities that made inverse funds available, because I just want them as an emergency. Look, Barry, if you got a truck that's careening down a mountain, you need an emergency brake that will override all the other systems.
You want
right?
to at least be able to go in reverse, put it that way.
Exactly. Okay, so I have always wanted to have something in my toolkit, if needed, in case of emergency, break glass and reach for ETF. So I have a list, and they're in my charts. I have a group, so I can click through every single one of them in about 5 minutes, all right, and see which one, you know, looks the best one to deploy. You've already heard me talk about many that I have deployed here along the way. Now, I still have some longs on the other side. I do see the market's coming back a little here. We still have some of the low PE tech stocks. Seagate would be a good example. I can just tell you that those stocks, if they break support, nothing is sacred. The final arbiter for me is that technical support line. I look at charts every single day. I begin with valuations and fundamentals. The fundamentals of the market still look good. Not the tech sector, not the highfalutin sector, but you get down into the low PE, the industrials, the cyclicals, the banks, the oil and gas sector. The overall fundamentals, you know, we're looking at $250 in earnings potential here down the road. We started at $60 per share back in 2009, so the fundamentals still look good. But, Barry, I found over time that when the technicals start to fall apart, they're a leading indicator. You know what I'm saying? The fundamentals are a lagging indicator. And even back in 2000, I started to see the NASDAQ falling apart while the fundamentals still look good. And I was being told the fundamentals are fine, but the charts were saying something else. You know what I'm saying?
It's sell and ask questions later, right?
Exactly.
Or sell and do the fundamental analysis later is really kind of how it works.
The fundamentals will eventually catch up with the technicals, right? That's kind of the way it works. But anyways, I can just tell you that everything that I have sold has gone much, much further down. I was looking at some of the big name mutual funds, growth funds over the weekend. They're down anywhere from 16 to 21%, okay? I'm talking Growth Fund of America and all these giant growth funds. But here's the most shocking statistic of all. ARK Funds, ARKK, the flagship fund, which was down 24% last year. In the first 4 weeks of January, not even 4 weeks yet, 3.5 weeks, she's down 30%, Barry, year to date, 30%. That is just unbelievable. And, of course, I think her performance has been exacerbated on both sides of the coin. I think on the way up, you know, she was like an elephant getting into the bathtub of a lot of these smaller, the Palantirs of the world and the Teladocs of the world. And a lot of it was her action that was lifting those stocks and making them momentum stocks and drawing others into those stocks. But it works even worse on the way down. Now she's an elephant trying to get out of the bathtub or a crowded theater trying to go out a small exit, and she's greatly impacting the prices on the downside as she has to sell these stocks that aren't exactly the most liquid stocks in the world. Well, it's also earnings week. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Inverse ETFs Now show. NASDAQ down 319. 13,000 is the last bastion of support there, okay? That's probably where it's headed. The Dow is down 566 right now. The Dow is below its 200-day moving average. 33,613. Okay, it is bouncing off. I said that the last bastion of support, that's right where it hit this morning, and it is bouncing off of that. That was in my newsletter over the weekend. The S&P 500 chart. There it is. It's coming down to 4278. I said that's the last piece of support. It is bouncing off of that. It's funny how technical analysis works. And I just want to look at the NASDAQ here. Oh, that's an ugly chart. Wow. I don't see support on the NASDAQ till 13,000. Although, you know, you're going to get some bounces in here. And Barry, I don't think you can be 100% inverse funds right now, because there's going to be some days here coming along soon where you're going to have big up days. It's inevitable. The market doesn't go down every single day.
Well, and there's certainly an oversold factor right now. When that support comes
in,
for that oversold factor is really the key, but. Yeah, you have to maintain some type of upside exposure. Otherwise, you're going to. It's the old adage. Remember, about being out of the market on the the best up days. Last year was a great example. But it's how you get that exposure that's the real key.
Yeah,
at this point.
And I still hold fast to that. A lot of this stuff. is not going to come back. You may have bounce days. We saw a little bounce and arc, over last week during the show. I said, that ain't going to last. It was up like 5%, and then it just collapsed. So, yeah, okay. And, of course, the crypto massacre now, they're calling it, been cut in half. So much for the hedge against inflation. You've got the solar sector is coming undone at the seams. Now let's throw in another... We have earnings season that is going. It's been going on. We've had most of the bank stocks are now done reporting. This week it's oil and gas, and you're going to see a lot of the tech stocks beginning to come in. Next week will be the biggest week for tech. Today after the close, there's a few. IBM is really the only one of note there. And I never expect much from IBM, but we're going to start getting. We had Netflix last week; it was a disaster. But next week we'll get. I think maybe even Thursday we get Apple. I'll tell you another horrible chart. Just horrible. Amazon. That thing is down so much from where I sold it last December. I saw that chart turning ugly. And even though it seemed to be a Teflon stock, no, the Teflon wore off. You know that thing's 2,800 right now? It's down 1,000 points from its high back in November. And another chart that's starting to turn pretty ugly here is Microsoft. MSFT is below its 200-day moving average. I would say it's on its last bit of support, okay, right there at Microsoft. So really nothing is sacred here, and nothing is seemingly working except for the inverse funds. Really, that's the only thing that's working. Okay, European stocks, they had some data out on their economy. That's another fear that I'm hearing coming back to the fore, is a global slowdown. A global slowdown in the economy. But I still say that the elephant in the room, and I'll ask you if you agree with me on this, is interest rates. Goldman sees more than four Fed hikes in 2022. And yet, Barry, we're seeing interest rates go down to 1.73% in the midst of this panic in the stock market. But don't you think at the end of the day that the elephant in the room is interest rates?
Well, it certainly, I think, long-term, right? Because, you know, it's something we can – something. Put it this way, it's the most certain in the market, right? You know,
yep.
Some Russian-Ukrainian war, right? I mean, that's not, you know, we're not sure that's going to go down like that. We're certainly not sure it's going to be averted either. But in terms of, you know, where the market needs to go or where the Fed, you know, has the will to go, it seems like at this point, certainly, you know, those interest rates, at least from a financial standpoint, right? That's kind of certainly the elephant in the room. The trick is, you know, I've seen a little softness in the economic numbers.
Yeah.
No different, you know, I think the with the PMI this morning, but part of that is Omicron, right? Base, so it's hard to, you know, normally in this environment, bad economic news would be good news for the market. We're of course not seeing that today. So that tells me that essentially that data, you know, essentially it's being thrown out by the economists because of the fact of, you know, it's tainted with Omicron, because, you know, it's something that they don't see, you know, those weakness in the PMI numbers going forward.
Yeah, and Omicron, I mean, that seems to be disappearing from the scene for now, and there does not seem to be anything behind it. So now you can narrow it down really to the interest rate situation, the situation, you know, global conflicts, the biggest one being Russia, Ukraine right now. I suppose the third one is, will earnings, we haven't heard from a lot of the really important big companies, especially in the tech, the Microsofts, the Apples, the Amazons, the AMDs of the world, will they be able to meet their expectations? And, you know, I saw the expectations for not this year, but next year, they've actually gone up a little bit more. But like I say, the sentiment and the technicals are pointing to something else. So we'll continue. I mean, we're on top of this every single day. This is the worst January ever for the NASDAQ. How about that? And I think, you know, I really think at the big horrible performance in the NASDAQ is what has gone on there, the implosion of a massive ETF, a massive fund family that is absolutely imploding. And, you know, that's that lower end, that's that high growth end of the NASDAQ. And the problem is it's infecting the entire NASDAQ right now. Let's see, Catalyst Watch for next week. Let's see here. What we're going to have a lot of earnings here this week, and that's going to really make for some big moves in the market one way or the other. You know, heaven forbid. Okay, Microsoft reports this week. Heaven forbid Microsoft misses their earnings like Netflix did. Boeing's going to report earnings this week. Tesla reports this week. And, of course, we know that the valuations on Tesla are still in the stratosphere. Okay, it's been Teflon-coated, but now the Teflon's starting to come off. We got Pfizer reporting this week, Johnson & Johnson, all kinds of different companies that are important. All right. Now, let's take a look here. There's a little news on Bitcoin fights to hold 36,000. I mean, that's all you can do on Bitcoin is there are no fundamentals to look at, right? The chart.
Just price, yeah. That's it.
I can certainly look at Coinbase, which is now Wood's largest position. It's down 11.7% today. 11 and hitting a new 52-week low. That's COIN, C-O-I-N. Too bad there's not a, there is not an inverse crypto. There is one in Canada that's inverse Bitcoin. But I would love to see an inverse stock, inverse blockchain. I would have been all over that if there was one, but there isn't one. Sark soars again. ARK capsizes as the NASDAQ sells off. Let's check in on Sark real quickly. Sark was actually, it's up 5.8% again today. It was $30 when it came public. One of the great IPOs of last year. It's not really an IPO. It's a new ETF. It's gone from 30 to 51. It's exactly inverse away from Cathie Wood's ARK ETF. Okay, another area that's imploding, all these online sports gaming companies, which were a big thing, DraftKings. Now they're all looking to sell their online gaming businesses, like Wynn is trying to get rid of WynnBET because of the competitions, and there's just no profits in it right now. Anyways, we'll try to find some good stuff here to talk about in the final segment. I'm going to move over to the sunny side of the street there, Barry, when we come back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Inverse Funds Now show. We've temporarily changed the name, you see, until I see my website's not back up, Barry. They got 1 hour and 9 minutes. 1 hour and 9 minutes before the the lawsuit is filed in the Superior Court of Charleston District Court. All right, here's I'm going to go today with one stock on the long side, and Barry's our fertilizer expert. He wears hip yeah. boots, you know, a few times a week, and walks around with the gas mask on. He's wore a mask. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways,
hazmat suit.
Yes. Check out CF Industries today. You see, fertilizer is needed. Okay, I don't care if Russia's invading Ukraine. I don't care what interest rates are doing. You got to have bread. I'm a bread maker. I make probably 3-4 loaves of bread every week. I don't use yeast. I use natural yeast. In other words, sourdough starter. Made a beautiful loaf of sourdough over the weekend. But to grow that flour comes from wheat. I hope your kids understand this. Barry, if your kids want to come over to my house, I've got several big 5-gallon buckets of hard wheat, winter wheat kernels that I grind into flour to make bread, wheat bread. The other I buy, you know, flour. But anyways, you know, one of the reasons why Russia's interested in Ukraine, guess where? Russia's not exactly a temperate climate. Ukraine is. Ukraine was the kind of the fruit
bread
basket.
Yeah, bread basket of Russia.
Absolutely. They grow wheat. They have orchards that grow fruit. You know, that's all very, very critical. And Putin's got a lot of people to feed. And that's a very important region. So we're our CF Industries, one of the few stocks that's up today. It's up 3.2%, 3.3% now on a day when the Dow's down 568. Okay, now let's have some fun and pick on some of the most vulnerable areas of the market. Okay, we have an inverse fund, LABD. Larry, Andrew, Boy, David. We've got LABD. Look at that chart. Okay, that looks like ARK funds in 2020. That looks like Teladoc in 2020. That looks like Etsy in 2020. No, this is 2022. LABD is three times inverse the biotech sector. Now, you want a sector that is the very essence of long duration. That's it, the biotechs. With all those little biotechs that came public Same with the SPACs. Okay, this is similar to SOGU, I guess. SOGU is short all of those SPACs that came public. Well, LABD is inverse the biotech sector, three times inverse. So it's juiced a little bit, got some adrenaline in it, and it's up 8.5% today. We own that in our ultra growth portfolio.
Yeah, and it combines to me the important why we use the biotech industry to to pick on them during these times is because it's the essence of speculation, right?
Absolutely.
Not only is it long duration, but as many biotechs, it's either the drug's either going to work or it's not. It's a zero or a one, and so when you have speculation leaving the market or risk off, the first place that assets move are from the biotech industry back to some other safer asset class. And so that's why it's a classic sector or piece of the market to pick on.
And in a roundabout way, it's a direct inverse against Wood's genomic revolution ETF. Okay, that thing did really well in 20. Just look at the difference. The genomic revolution ETF was up 178% in 2020. That just shows you the amount of speculation that was in the market in 2020. It was one of the top, if not the top performing ETF. That's all those gene splicing stocks like Edit and CRISPR, etc. Up 178%. Last year it was down 34.3%, and this year so far it's down 27.2%. Well, we're taking that sector, we're going inverse that sector, and we're adding a little bit of leverage there. And fund, that's one of the best performing inverse ETFs. I'm going to do one more on my favorite sector to badmouth. This is the up in smoke sector. Like 2 or 3 years ago when I went to Sarasota, all these retirees were asking me, Gunderson, what do you think about the weed stocks? Maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago. The cannabis stocks, there's going to be a cannabis revolution. Well, I said, I don't think it's a crop. I don't think they'll ever be profitable, and I think the competition will be fierce. I wouldn't touch them. There is an inverse alternative harvest, they call it. Okay, this isn't wheat, all right? It's a crop. MJIN is an ETF that's twice inverse the marijuana sector. So if, the retirees in Sarasota want to know what I think about the cannabis sector, says I love it, but I like the inverse. This fund did not exist until late last year. I just found it, So there you go. There's three of them for you. LABD, inverse the biotech, CF, long the fertilizer to grow the marijuana, and MJIN is inverse the alternative harvest sector, and it's juiced. It's 2-to-1. Well, there you have it. Okay, look, we have people pouring in over the weekend wanting to hear from us. We did a seminar. I did an online seminar down in Florida. I guess I'm going to have to put on some weekly, bi-week or twice a month seminars from my office here, some webinars to keep the folks informed, because I take this seriously. Number one, to protect with these inverse funds, and number two, to try to make money however we can in 2022. If you'd like to get the newsletter that I sent out over the weekend, it was a blockbuster. You can go to Gunderson. That site's still up. No problem. GundersonCapital.com. We host that one on GoDaddy, and they seem to be just fine. I doubt that I'll be with HostMonster when this is all over. Go to the website, GundersonCapital.com, and Barry's been flooded with phone calls. We've been flooded with phone calls at our firm. Go to 855-611-BEST. If your advisor's doing nothing, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.